The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Today, we have one of my favorite doctors for a long, long time, Dr. Stephen Gundry. He is basically one of the founding fathers of intermittent fasting. And even if you don't partake in intermittent fasting, which I currently do not, it's such an interesting conversation. We're talking about his new book, Gut Check, as well as his previous book, The Plant Paradox, where he talks all about autoimmune conditions and how we can start to take care of our bodies in a different way by eating different foods, specifically by avoiding lectins, which is his thing. But this is a deep conversation, and no matter how you eat and no matter what your food philosophy and nutrition philosophy is, he is such a fantastic functional medicine doctor, and he has saved so many people from chronic autoimmune conditions and pain and ailments. He has his own supplement line. He has weight loss supplements, incredible probiotics, so many things. He's amazing. And this was such a good conversation. We hit on so many different topics, and I know you're going to love it. And with that, we're going to get into this episode. If you feel inspired to rate and review on Apple or Spotify, I would love to send you my free yoga ebook as a thank you. So email me at jordan@thebalancedblonde.com if you end up rating and reviewing. And then also, if you feel inspired to join the Quantum Method platform, my meditation membership platform, we have a lot of fun things happening, including a live meditation and channeling with me today. And if you're listening to this later and you miss it, you can still join and you can watch the live later. The replays are always available. It is the platform where I am putting so much of my time and energy right now. It is a platform of reprogramming tracks all about meditation, affirmation, bonus podcasts, pep talks, all the things. So you got to join us. It is my favorite place on the internet right now. You can find it at thequantummethod.co, and you can use the code podcastbestie for this week only to receive 10% off, baby. And now let's get into this episode with Dr. Stephen Gundry.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I've been such a fan of your work for so long, as I was just telling you. I actually emailed you when I was in the depths of suffering from Lyme disease and all of the co-infections. And this was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. I ended up trying so many different things that you talk about in your books, from removing lectins from my diet, removing nightshades, pressure cooking my legumes. The list goes on. So thank you for putting all that info into the world.
Well, that's why I do it.
And, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I guess I didn't see you.
I think you're a busy man, so
yeah,
it's okay.
I see patients 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And back then, for a while, I lost my nurse practitioner, who was also seeing patients. So for a while, I had to cut off new patients because there was a waiting list of over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have a wonderful physician's assistant who's been with me for a few years. And so we do see new patients now. So,
amazing. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to come see you.
Yeah, come and let's play.
I got to do it.
Okay.
So I'm curious to hear all about you and how you became a doctor. Is this something that you were interested in for your whole life?
Yeah, literally. In fact, I found a book in my elementary school library when I was 10 years old called All About You.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, I guess, all about health in those days, and that was long ago. And I decided right then and there I was going to be a doctor. In fact, my fourth grade science project was how to do an appendectomy.
No way.
Complete with illustrations.
Uh-huh.
Big poster, and people accused me of doing it on my sister. And literally, that's what made me decide to be a doctor.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. So you really carried out your life path. And then what inspired you once you became a doctor to go down, I don't know if it would be called the functional medicine path?
Well, you said it correctly. You can't see unless your eyes are open. And unfortunately, most of us, our eyes are closed to something that defies explanation. So I eventually became professor and chairman of cardiothoracic surgery at Loma Linda University, just down the road from here. Mm-hmm. And my partner and I, Leonard Bailey, pioneered pediatric and infant heart transplantation. And used to do it weekly. And then I became really famous for operating on people who nobody else wanted to operate on.
Oh, wow.
Adults and children. And because of that, I was introduced over 25 years ago now to a gentleman I call Big Ed in all my books. And Big Ed was a real person from Miami, Florida. He was 48 years old. He had inoperable coronary artery disease. What that means is his blood vessels were so clogged up everywhere that you couldn't put stents in them. You couldn't do a bypass because there was no place to jump over to land a bypass and sew it in because it was all crud. And people like Big Ed would go around the country to centers with idiots like myself who would take on these challenging cases. And every place he went, everybody turned him down. And this is fairly common, and I'm one of the people that people ended up at. And mm-hmm. So 6 months into his journey of getting turned down, Big Ed comes into my office at Loma Linda bearing his angiogram, the cardiac catheterization, the movie of the coronary arteries of his heart. And they're all clogged up. And I go, everybody was right. I wish I could help you, but they're all right. And there's nothing I can do. And he says, well, let me tell you, I've been going around the country for 6 months, but I've been on a diet and I've lost 45 pounds in 6 months. Now, this was a guy who was 265 pounds when I met him. So he was over mm-hmm. 300 pounds when he started, and hence the name Big Ed. And he said, I went to a health food store, and I've been taking all these supplements. And he literally brought in a big grocery sack full of supplements. He said, you know, maybe I did something in here. And, you know, I'm scratching my professor beard and going, well, good for you for losing weight, Big Ed, but that's not going to do anything. And I know what you did with all those supplements. You made expensive urine, which is what I firmly believe. And he says, well, look, I've come all the way. Why don't we just get another angiogram, another cardiac catheterization, movie of my heart? You know, I'm going, oh, okay. So we get a new angiogram. And in 6 months' time, this guy has cleaned out 50% of the blockages in his heart. They're gone. And I'm looking at the 6 months. And it's like, I've never seen such a thing. It's impossible because that can't happen. Mm-hmm. And yet, there it is. Mm-hmm. So I ask Big Ed, okay, you know, tell me about this diet. And he starts explaining it. And almost by serendipity, I went as an undergraduate at Yale back in the dark ages. And back in the good old days, we could design our own major and work with full professors and make a thesis. It's basically a master's program. So my major was you could take a great ape, manipulate its food supply, manipulate its environment, and prove you would arrive at a human being. And I defended my thesis, I got an honors, and I gave it to my parents and went away and became a famous heart surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So as Big Ed's talking, I'm going, wait a minute, this is actually my thesis from Yale about what ancient man ate.
Uh-huh.
And my parents just happened to have my thesis. So I started myself on my thesis. Now, why would that be interesting to me? Because even though I was a famous heart surgeon, I was running 30 miles a week. I was going to the gym 1 hour a day. I was eating a healthy, low-fat diet. And I was 70 pounds overweight. I had arthritis so bad I had to wear braces on my knees to run. I had migraine headaches when I was doing little baby heart transplants. Mm-hmm. And I had high cholesterol and high blood pressure and prediabetes. And I was told that was normal because my dad had the same thing, and that was genetic. And I looked through Big Ed's supplements, and I was famous for keeping hearts alive during heart surgery or transplantation by putting some secret sauce in the heart and the blood vessels, and it would keep it alive and healthy while it was cut off from blood supply, sitting in an ice bucket for 48 hours. And Big Ed was swallowing these things, seriously. So I'm going, wow. So I put myself, my parents sent up my program, and I started swallowing all these crazy supplements.
Uh-huh.
So I lost 50 pounds my first year.
Wow.
My cholesterol became normal. My arthritis went away. My migraine headaches went away. And so with that in mind, everyone who I operated on at Loma Linda, I put them on the program and say, here, go to Costco, get a Trader Joe's, go to a health food store, buy a few of these supplements. And there's certain foods I don't want you to eat, and there's certain foods I do want you to eat, because I don't want to operate on you again. Because even if we did a bypass, they'd usually be back in 5 to 7 years for the next one or the next stent.
Mm-hmm.
And miraculously, it's not miraculous now, these people, their diabetes would go away, their arthritis would go away. And so after a year of doing this at Loma Linda, I had a really bad idea. I said, wait a minute, I shouldn't operate on people and then teach them how to avoid me. I should teach them how to avoid me first, and then I'll never have to operate on them again mm-hmm. in the first place. So I actually, at the height of my career, resigned my position and went out to Palm Springs, which is, you know, right down the street from mm-hmm. Loma Linda, and set up a practice where I asked people, look, I want you to eat certain foods. I don't want you to eat certain foods. Go to the health food store and buy some supplements. And every 3 months, I want to draw blood work on you. Then insurance will pay for, or Medicare will pay for. And let's see what happens. And what happened was the dumb thing works. So, you know, that resulted in the big book was The Plant Paradox from mm-hmm. about 7 years ago, where I basically contended and proved that there's certain plant foods that probably you shouldn't be eating because mm-hmm. plants don't want you to eat them.
Yes, that was news to me. I was a vegan at that time. I'm not anymore, although I love the vegans. Lots of vegans listening to this show.
I have tons of vegans as patients.
Yeah.
Because of my experience at Loma Linda, which is an Adventist institution.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, everything in the cafeteria is vegan or mm-hmm. It's vegetarian. They do allow cheeses and eggs. I see lots of vegans and vegetarians. The ones I see are not doing well because mm-hmm. they're, in general, eating the wrong plants, mm-hmm. to put it nicely.
It is finally spring, which means warm weather and more time on the go. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for the season. I have been wearing the Uptown Loafer. It comes in 10 shades of premium suede and leather. It is smartly deconstructed to collapse flat, and it is so easy to pack for all of your upcoming travels. We have our baby moon coming up, and I am so excited to go to Ojai and also to rock my Uptown Loafers. You've probably seen me posting them on my Instagram. I also love how easy it is to shop online with Vionic and this Vionic Vitals collection. I'm just one of those people who needs things to be easy and simple in order for it to work for my life. And I love it. I love their process. I love the shoes. They're so comfortable. They're so supportive. I've been wearing them out and about, taking Atticus to the park. And of course, for all of our upcoming travels. You will love all the different options that they have to elevate your style. They also have heeled sandals. They have classic sneakers. They have slip-on flats. So anything that you feel like you need and you're looking for right now, as far as your shoe game goes, these will be perfect for you. Use code BLONDE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com. When you log into your account, one-time use only. Bionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. I think you guys have probably seen me talking about Lipton green tea. I am a green tea girly for life, and I love Lipton. Lipton is tried and true. And what you might not know is that Lipton green tea is a proactive wellness hack to support overall health. Just 2 cups a day delivers a quick and simple win on our individual health and wellness journeys, thanks to the goodness of the flavonoids that you will find in the green tea. So in their new signature blend green tea, as well as their new lemon, peach, and honey ginger green tea, both of those have a bunch of flavonoids. In the signature blend, there's 100 milligrams per 8-ounce cup. And in the peach and honey one, there is 75 milligrams per 8-ounce cup. And what you need to know about flavonoids is that they are incredible for you. They're naturally occurring bioactives that are found in tea, vegetables, and fruit. Just 2 cups a day is such an easy way to help support your health. And it's equivalent to 8 cups of raw kale or 20 pounds of cooked broccoli. Can you believe that? And it's delicious. I've been sipping on so much tea. I've been coughing lately, like crazy, which if you follow my Instagram, then you know, and it's just delicious. I love to brew up a nice green tea, put some honey in there, and call it a day. They are the most loved and trusted tea brand in the category. Everybody loves the taste. You can find them at your local retailer. Try the new Lipton green tea. So what are the wrong plans and what are the right plans for people who maybe haven't read that book?
Yeah. So plants have a defense system against them not being eaten and their certain babies, their seeds not being eaten because they're quite frankly defenseless in the normal ways. They can't run, they can't hide, they can't fight. But their defense system is chemical biological warfare. And part of that warfare are plant compounds called lectins, which are proteins that are designed to, believe it or not, cause leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
And leaky gut is not pseudoscience. It is a measurable thing. It exists. I've yet to meet someone with an autoimmune disease that doesn't have leaky gut.
It's true.
I've never met someone with Lyme's disease that does, or chronic Lyme, that doesn't have leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, for instance, gluten happens to be a lectin.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I need to brush up on the book.
Like, yeah, it's a plant defense
mm-hmm,
protein.
Mm-hmm.
And so 100% of my patients with autoimmune disease, and fast forward, about 80% of my practice now is autoimmune disease.
Oh, wow.
And that, as you know, 80% of autoimmune disease occurs in females.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a very large female
practice. Why is that?
There's a lot of theories. I think one of the theories that I kind of like is you guys have babies. And during the time you have a baby, you have the largest parasite known to mankind living within you. And this parasite has foreign cells.
Mm-hmm.
And your immune system has to go literally on a dime to protecting you against foreign cells and recognizing foreign cells to suddenly being told, accept this giant monstrous parasite and don't attack it. And so, and men, not yet anyhow, we don't have babies. So we don't have that sort of immune system that mm-hmm. can has to turn on a trigger. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think is interesting in females, we see so many females that after their pregnancy, their first autoimmune disease shows up, like Hashimoto's, like lupus, like rheumatoid arthritis. And early on, I would see a lot of women who this was happening and they didn't want to be on suppressant drugs, didn't want to be on drugs because they wanted to have another child. And they would come after the plant paradox, they'd come and say, hey, you know, what do you know about autoimmune disease? And I said, I don't know anything about autoimmune disease, but I'm a transplant immunologist. My lab was designed to find out how the immune system worked and to fool it so I could put a heart from somebody else in there and it wouldn't attack it. So if I know a lot about immunology. So if you want to play, let's play together. And lo and behold, we found that in autoimmune disease, your immune system is hyperactivated mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's looking for things to attack in your body that actually looks like these particles that plants make called lectins. And it was first described by a professor at Colorado State by the name of Loren Cordain, who many view as the father of the paleo diet. And what he proposed was that these plant compounds have a molecular barcode that our immune system wants to figure out anything that happens to come through the wall of our gut, and we can talk about that. The immune system says, hey, is this a good guy or a bad guy? Is this somebody whose passport is valid, or is this somebody on the no-fly list? And I need to recognize who's who, because I don't want bad guys in here. So it literally reads a molecular barcode on any protein that enters our body, literally like a barcode scanner in the supermarket. And it says, oh, yeah, oh, I recognize that guy. You know, that's a kiwi and it's five for a dollar. And, okay. On the other hand, plants, in their wisdom, and plants are really smart, they make these proteins resemble other proteins in our body. And it's called molecular mimicry. So that if our immune system is hyper-revved up because stuff is leaking across the wall of our gut, your immune system literally scrambles the fighter jets and goes to threat level 5 or whatever it is. And as, let's use Hashimoto's for an example, as your fighter jets are running around your body and they come upon your thyroid and they're literally carrying pictures of the most wanted list and say, okay, the guys we're looking for have this picture, have this barcode. And they come across your thyroid and go, oh my gosh, those barcodes look almost virtually identical to who I'm looking for. It's not quite the same, but we're at war, and I ought to shoot first and ask questions later. I'll get an award for that. And so we think, and many of us now think, that plants have designed this to make us think twice about eating them.
Wow.
Because if we don't feel good, if we hurt, if we're not thriving, if we're not getting pregnant, then a smart animal will go, you know, every time I eat that plant or that plant baby, I don't feel very good, and I don't think I'll eat that thing anymore. Plant wins, the animal wins, and everybody's happy. Now, unfortunately, I've been at this for a very long time. Most of us realize that humans are quite stupid. And we'll eat these things, and we will feel bad, but we don't make the connection either. Or we say, oh, what the heck, I'll take an antacid, or I'll take an Advil, or I'll take an antidepressant, or I'll take an immunosuppressant drug because I like eating these things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to us.
Wow. It's so true. That's so wild. So I'm pregnant right now.
Congrats.
Thank you. I'm just entering the second trimester, and I also have a 2-year-old.
Oh,
so
wow. Yeah.
did the whole pregnancy and postpartum thing. And most of all my symptoms from Lyme were prior to having a baby.
Yeah.
And then I was doing really well and I was very healthy, healthy enough to get pregnant. And then postpartum, everything came back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Lyme per se, because I try not to get tested for Lyme now because it just messes with my head. And
yeah, don't bother.
Totally. But it's mast cell.
So we can quiet that down so quick.
Really?
With this. Yeah. With this program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So yeah, your mast cells are activated. So this is actually very, very common. Most of the time, women with an autoimmune disease, it becomes quiet during the pregnancy. And people, because, again, your immune system, the largest parasite in the world, your immune system is now being told, thankfully, look, calm down. Just you know, cool your jets. Don't get your panties in a wad for 9 months. Just relax. And so many of my patients, they're quiet during their pregnancy. But then after their pregnancy, that signal, number one, goes away. But number two, did you have a vaginal delivery?
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly enough, the lining of your gut gets very, very poor blood flow during the time you're in labor. And it literally gets, the word is ischemic, it literally doesn't get enough blood flow. And it turns out that women get really leaky gut during the delivery process.
Oh, wow.
And so now all of a sudden, you've got an immune system that was quiet. Now the immune system is back on high alert. And now your gut is porous. And so your symptoms flare like, you know, it's like, whoa, what happened? You know, I was doing so well. I'm so happy. And that's what happens to so many women. And for instance, and just to divert, chronic Lyme is a chronic inflammatory process.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of chronic Lyme, and a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us agree what we should be working for is quieting the immune system to stop the chronic inflammation. And then you live with it and it doesn't bother you. It's the inflammation that is the troublemaker. And to carry that point one farther, everybody says, well, I shouldn't eat inflammatory foods and I should eat anti-inflammatory foods. But people forget, well, wait a minute, where does the inflammation come from in the first place? And inflammation actually is our body's response to a foreign object in us. Best way to describe this, if every one of us has got a splinter in our finger or our toe or our foot, like everybody, and it gets all red and it hurts. And that's, believe it or not, because there's a foreign object in us. And all that redness is our immune cells causing inflammation to attack this thing. And miraculously, when we take out that foreign invader, everything goes away and the inflammation goes away. Imagine that splinter, in this case, a lectin, lectins are getting through the skin of your intestines 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and you're inflamed from the attack on those splinters.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done for over 20 years now, we can teach you how to heal your leaky gut. And I even have products that do that. But my argument to anyone who listens is that if you keep swallowing splinters, if you keep swallowing razor blades every day, you'll slice it right back open and you'll undo all the work you've done. So we take certain things away from people, and most of the grains have lectins. So wheat, rye, barley, and oats all carry a gluten or gluten-like molecule that crosses our gut. It actually causes leaky gut. most of the beans and legumes, which vegans live on. And unless you prepare them properly by either pressure cooking or soaking and fermenting them, they'll do the same thing. Certain New World foods that we've only been exposed to for 500 years, like the nightshade family, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, white potatoes, cashews.
Some of my favorite things.
Yeah. And we were not designed to eat these things. And I mean, again, you can detoxify them, but initially we take them away from a lot of people. The other thing that I write about in Gut Check is a lot of my autoimmune patients, when we first start, have antibodies to all the forms of dairy, even, quote, safe dairy like sheep yogurts and sheep cheeses and goat cheeses, and eggs, both egg whites and egg yolks. Not everybody, but autoimmune patients have a much higher percentage that react to dairy and eggs.
Okay, I think you guys know that I have a history with OCD and all sorts of mental health and anxiety and all of those things. So do you ever have relationship doubts that feel overwhelming? And no matter what you try, you can't seem to work through them. Maybe you constantly ask your partner for reassurance, or you try to reassure yourself, but the distressing questions about your compatibility, your connection, and your attraction to each other just won't go away. This could often be a type of OCD known as relationship OCD. I think so many people do not know about this. It can also be called ROCD. People often accept these behaviors as things that happen to everyone in a relationship, or they brush them off as overthinking, but they really shouldn't. ROCD, when left untreated, can affect people's relationships and quality of life, so it should never be taken lightly. And the good news is ROCD is treatable. So when left untreated, it can really affect you and your life. But because it's treatable, it requires specialized treatment. Traditional talk therapy often doesn't work for any type of OCD. NoCD is making this specialized treatment more accessible than ever. NoCD provides effective, affordable, and convenient virtual OCD therapy that can help you feel more secure in your relationship. And it can also help in so many other areas of your life. With NoCD, you can do live face-to-face video sessions with a licensed therapist trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, which is the gold standard treatment for OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans to make treatment more affordable, and they make sure that you are supported all the way around. To learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call.
Are you single and struggling with dating, or in a long-term relationship and want to take that next step? Or maybe you've been together with your partner forever and you want to spice things up. We Met at Acme is a dating podcast for you, and I really hope you come check it out. I'm Lindsay Metzeler, and we have so much to talk about together. So check out We Met at Acme wherever you listen to podcasts, and I can't wait to meet you.
I'm remembering so many things now because I used to live so in accordance with this because of your book and because of all the things that I did to heal. And then I got so relaxed and I eat all that stuff now. I mean, I eat eggs, I eat oatmeal, and I've been pretty inflamed. And this pregnancy, I have horrible migraines, like horrible.
So what are your tips? Do you think it's related to inflammation and mast cell and everything that I'm experiencing right now?
For instance, I had migraines literally while doing baby heart transplants, and I don't recommend it. I had them because my father had them. And I'm, it's genetic. You know, I watched my father suffer with them. So, what are you going to do about it? You know, you have to power through. A little baby needs the heart transplant, and, You may not be able to think clearly or see, but, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. And you did it. When I went on my program, my migraines disappeared. I haven't had a migraine in 25 years.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And some of my first people that I wrote about in The Plant Paradox are people who had migraines. In fact, a shout out to Jill. You know who you are. Jill is a nurse from Oregon who had incapacitating migraine headaches. And Jill happened to make a wonderful zucchini and tomato relish from her garden.
Mm-hmm.
And she would, you know, put it in ball jars, and she just loved it. And so she came to me because she had heard that I'm pretty good at migraines. And I said, well, this is easy. You know, this stuff is inducing your migraines. They're full of lectins. And she said, what? I love it. I said, just humor me. Take away the foods I tell you to. You can have all the other ones, and let's see what happens. So almost instantaneously, your migraines went away.
Wow.
So after about a year of this, Jill comes back and said, you know, this is great, but I love my zucchini and tomato relish. Can I have it? I said, I'll tell you what, let's do a great experiment, because it was canning time. I said, pressure cook half the batch and then just do the steaming for the other one. And let's compare. So she does, and she eats the regular stuff, and instantly, you know, within an hour, gets a migraine.
Wow.
And she calls me up. She's like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's the first migraine in a year. I said, see? And I said, okay, let it calm down. Let's wait a couple of weeks and try your pressure cook. And no migraine.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. And she said, oh, my gosh, you know, I can have it again. In fact, yeah. She sent me a jar for Christmas. Thank you, Jill. These things are designed. For instance, a zucchini is a New World fruit. Mm-hmm. And it was designed. We'd never seen a zucchini. We never saw a tomato.
That's so true.
Yeah. And my grandmother on my mother's side was French. And she taught my mother, you always peel and de-seed a tomato before you eat it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Same with a pepper. The Southwest American Indians always char and peel their peppers and take the seeds out before they eat them or grind them into chili powder.
Oh, my God. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. In fact, Italians, you'll never buy a jar of Italian red peppers and see peels and seeds because they're gone.
Wow.
And fun fact, ever guess where chili pepper flakes for pizza came from? It turns out that that was what was thrown away from detoxifying peppers,
The
peel and the seeds. That was the discharge.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and now we put these wonderful lectin-laden foods.
You're putting so much into perspective for me. I just had some of those chili flakes the other day on this avocado toast.
Yeah.
Horrible inflammation.
Yeah.
Because I've had this thing ever since my first pregnancy where my lips become super inflamed. I would get a rash from like here to here and all the way around. And it came back when I had the chili flakes.
Of course.
But also the spicy foods obviously irritates the lips.
Yeah, but that's what it's from.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, I go over to Italy a lot and they make chili pepper oil to put on things, but they put whole chilies in there and you're not supposed, you're just getting the heat from it. You're not getting exposed to the lectins.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so wild.
Yeah, I was, this is a similar story. I was walking a vineyard, a biodynamic vineyard in Tuscany with the winemaker, and he had a big organic garden, and there's these huge Roma tomatoes. And I go, what do you do with those? Because, you know, I'm the anti-tomato guy. And he says, oh, we make pasta sauce with it. And I said, oh, really? You know, what do? Just throw them in the pot and cook it? He said, oh. You know, goodness gracious, no. You got to peel and de-seed them before you make pasta sauce. I said, what? You know, what crazy idea is that? He said, crazy? He said, my mother told me, you know, you had to do that.
Oh,
I said,
God.
Well, where'd she get that idea? Are you kidding? My grandmother told her to do that.
Uh-huh.
Anybody knows you can't make pasta sauce, you know, tomato sauce, without peeling and de-seeding the tomatoes.
Wow.
It's lethal.
Wow. Well, we just didn't get the memo here in the U.S., I feel like.
Well, you're right. I think because we've lost touch with ancestral teaching.
Mm-hmm,
and we used to prize our elders. And there's a lot of these super old people that I try and go interview and visit. And Palm Springs is called God's waiting room for a good reason. And we have super old people that I've talked about in my books. And these people, a lot of them, particularly in villages in France and Italy, they believe it's their job to stick around as a resource to tell people what they've learned in 100 years. And, you know, here's the mistakes you're making, or here's the mistakes we made that we learned from. And now we take our old people and put them in assisted living and nursing homes because we're kind of busy.
I know. It's sad. It's so true. That's kind of along the same topic. You talked about blue zones and like the myth of some of the blue zone information. Can you share some of that with us?
Sure. Paul Simon was saying a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And the blue zones were actually called the blue zones because at a meeting in Montpellier, France, a number of years ago, a researcher took a map of the world and he said he took a blue felt tip marker and circled five places in the world that he thought had exceptional longevity. And the journalist, Dan Buettner, was in the audience and said, oh, those are blue zones. So that's where the word came from. And it's trademarked by Dan. So Dan is a vegetarian primarily, mostly vegan. And so if you want to convince people that vegetarianism and veganism is the reason long-lived people live so long, then you would look at those places and try to find things that would back your bias. Unfortunately, it's quite the opposite. For instance, in Sardinia, there's basically two groups of people, one that live down by the water and one that lives up in the mountains. The people who live down by the water are mostly fishermen. They don't have exceptional longevity. It's the people who live in the mountains. They are goat and sheep herders. And interestingly, the men actually have the exceptional longevity. Men in general live 6 to 7 years less than females. You are the stronger sex. But there, the men actually outlive the females. And we won't go into why, but it turns out their exceptional longevity is because they eat a lot of sheep and goat yogurt. And I've written books about how that actually is one of the best longevity tricks that anybody can come up with.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
And in the Nicoyan Peninsula in Costa Rica, that little part of Costa Rica, everybody eats beans and corn in all of Costa Rica. But this particular area are sheep and goat herders. And they credit the sheep and goats with their longevity. In fact, there's a paper showing the beans and the corn are the negative aspect of the diet that is compensated for by the sheep and goat. Same with Ikaria in Greece. They are sheep and goat herders. And Okinawa in Japan, they don't eat any rice. They can't grow rice. They eat no grains. 85% of their diet is a purple sweet potato, and they don't eat any tofu. They eat miso or natto, fermented tofu. And so 4 out of the 5 blue zones don't follow the rules. Mm-hmm. Now, the other blue zone is Loma Linda, where I was a professor for much of my career. And I'm the only nutritionist who's ever lived in a blue zone. And so I ought to know what they eat.
Yeah.
And one of the things that shocked me was the diet of the Adventists is about 50% fat, primarily from eggs and cheeses and milk products. And in fact, I got into an argument with the head of nutrition at the hospital that, she was killing my patients, my heart surgery patients, by giving them all these eggs and cheeses. And, and everybody knows how bad that is for you. And she basically, you know, patted my head and said, Sonny, you know, we live a long time. Why don't you just shut up and pay attention? She really did. And she was right. So
funny.
Yeah. So the blue zones, believe it or not, are not blue zones because they're eating grains and beans. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a very famous physician, nutritionist by the name of Stefan Lindberg, who is unfortunately dead now, but he spent his life studying nutrition and particularly this island nation of the Catawbans in Papua New Guinea. And he wrote a whole book about nutrition and Western disease. And his claim, which I agree with, was that the grains and beans that appear to be the health promoting are actually a negative aspect of all these diets that's compensated for by all the other positive aspects of the diet, like, for instance, polyphenol foods or mm-hmm. olive oil, for instance. And in other words, we've been looking at this the wrong way.
Wow. That's all so fascinating.
Yeah, and that's what fascinates me.
Yeah. So what do you eat every day?
So this is now January. For the last 23 years, beginning in January till the end of June, I don't eat breakfast. I don't eat lunch.
Yeah.
And I eat all my calories between 5 and 7 o'clock at night.
I forgot this about you. You inspired my husband. He does that. But he does that all year round.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too much.
Well, I like to study hunter-gatherer cultures, human behavior. And if you even look at modern hunter-gatherers like the Hadzas, they have a completely different diet 6 months out of the year and 6 months out of the year between the wet and the dry seasons. And way back when you study great apes, and that was part of my study at Yale, great apes only gain weight during fruit season. And fruit season, believe it or not, does not occur year round. It's only in the summer and early fall. And they eat fruit to gain weight. They have a gene mutation that we have as well that allows us to take fructose, fruit sugar, and convert it into fat. And believe it or not, that mutation allowed current great apes to outcompete other apes for food supply because they could get fat by eating fruit and other apes didn't have the mutation and they couldn't. So we're designed to gain weight in the spring and the summer. And then we're designed to lose weight when that would not be available. And so what I do is, believe it or not, I try to gain 10 to 15 pounds every summer and fall.
Wow.
And then I take it off every year.
Uh-huh.
And so, for instance, right now I'm down 2 pounds this year. And so I'm starting my way down.
Uh-huh.
And if people ever watch my podcasts consistently, they'll watch it. Hey, you know, you're really putting on some pounds there, aren't you, Dr. Gundry, in November and December? Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. And on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose. And, oh, you're on a diet? No, I'm just cycling. Like,
oh,
I think
really
I should.
Interesting. Okay, so what do you eat between 5 and 7 p.m.?
Okay, so
during this time,
yesterday would be a good example. And my wife has actually joined me on this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would say that intermittent fasting is good for men and women because in my experience, women have had issues with this kind of intense intermittent fasting, including myself.
Men and women with an exception. If you really are planning to get pregnant, mm-hmm. please don't do this.
Totally.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, you guys are really well designed. You have an energy sensor and a fat mass sensor that wants to know that if you got pregnant today and a famine hit today, that you could carry a pregnancy to term without eating for 9 months.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
That's wild.
And if it doesn't sense that or even senses a trend that that's not likely that you're going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
then it won't squirt out an egg. I have a number of female athletes who are very thin and they either don't have periods at all
mm-hmm.
or they're really odd and they want to get pregnant
mm-hmm.
and we force them to put on 10 pounds and knock on wood, it happens. Yeah. And they go, whoa. Uh-huh. I mean, you guys are really smart. Why would you waste an egg if you can't prove that you can keep kid alive while gestating?
Yeah.
So anyhow, so last night we actually had a bunch of walnuts, a bunch of pistachios, I had a glass of red wine, my wife had a glass of champagne, and we had goat cheese and sheep cheese, and what else do we have? We had Comté cheese, which is another raw cheese, and that was dinner, and sparkling water.
Oh, wow.
That was dinner.
But like a lot of each thing, I'm guessing, like a lot of walnuts.
Yeah, quite a bit. Tonight, we're going to have a radicchio salad, and then we're going to go to a local restaurant that has Dover sole that's flown in from Europe, and we'll have grilled Dover sole, and that's what we'll have. And a glass of red wine, and she'll have a glass of champagne.
That sounds delicious.
It's delicious. But we're not going to have any bread. Uh-huh. Oh, and we're going to pour olive oil over everything. We're going to smother it in olive oil.
So do you get really hungry during the day?
You don't at all. Not a bit.
Do you have coffee?
I do have coffee. Black coffee. Mm-hmm. I actually put allulose in the coffee. Non-GMO allulose. Allulose is just the most amazing natural sweetener that exists. It has no calories. But it's the first sweetener that, it's a true sugar that actually lowers your blood sugar. And it actually is approved by the FDA as a prebiotic.
Oh, wow. So you prefer that to stevia?
Oh, much, much more. Yeah. So, and my wife has switched over that as well. I just, on one of my Instagram accounts, I guess yesterday, a woman wrote in, she had heard my lecture on allulose, and she has a 72-year-old mother who is a diabetic, insulin injections, and she started to give her mother about 3 teaspoons of allulose throughout the day. And she wrote in on Instagram that her mother is now off insulin and thriving.
That's amazing.
And her blood sugars are normal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So can you imagine a natural treatment? And she said, my mother was a good sport. She said, yeah, okay, I'll try it. Mm-hmm. And now she's off of insulin. And, you know, just by taking a natural sweetener.
Yeah, and, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I'm sure people listening are going to try out your way of eating that type of intermittent fasting.
Yeah, no, it really works well. The other thing that people should realize, and a lot of this is in gut check, our hunger, through the years, we've tried to figure out, okay, how come everybody's hungry? And there's lots and lots of theories that hormones are coming from the nerves in the gut and all that sort of thing. And it turns out there's a theory called the gut-centric theory of hunger, that hunger comes from the bacteria in our gut. And if the bacteria are being fed what they need to eat, then they actually send text messages. And the book is about all the text messages we can measure. Text messages go into the brain saying, hey, we're happy down here. You don't have to go look for anything else. We're good. Have a nice day. This was confirmed by a study in China where they took people and put them on a 14-day water fast.
I've done that.
Okay. Half the people got 100 calories of prebiotic fiber every day, non-digestible by us, but what the gut microbiome wants to eat. The other group, you know, cold turkey, just water. The people on the water fast alone were pretty doggone hungry for a number of days. The people who got the prebiotic fiber had absolutely no hunger.
Wow. Wow.
Which to me, and that's certainly what I see in myself, my wife has noticed it as well. If you give these guys what they want, they literally tell you, we're good. Thanks very much. You're done. Our problem is that, as most of us have learned the hard way, most of our foods are processed or ultra-processed, and all the fiber soluble fiber has been removed. It's gone. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents didn't do that. They ate foods whole. Nothing was stripped out. And so you want to eat whole foods, but you want to eat whole foods whole. And so we can eat and eat and eat and eat, and yet the gut buddies, as I call them, never get fed. And they're going, oh, I can hear you chewing up there. I can, you know, stuff's coming down here, but there's nothing here for us to eat. We're starving to death. Please go find some more. It's the same way with artificial sweeteners in general, non-caloric sweeteners. We don't have any sugar receptors on our tongue. We have sweet receptors. And we even have sweet receptors in the lining of our gut. We don't have sugar receptors, sweet receptors. So let's take stevia for an example. So you have stevia, you taste sweet. The only source of sweetness long ago was fruit. So your brain gets a message, oh, she just ate fruit. The brain says, great, calories are on the way. Sugar's on the way. I'm calling down to the pancreas and say, hey, pancreas, here comes some sugar. Make some insulin to handle the sugar, to get it into the cells. The sugar never arrives. Now the insulin is up and your blood sugar goes down. Now the brain goes, what the heck? You got cheated. Not only did sugar not arrive, but the sugar's even lower. Go back and get some more. And this time, do it right. And that's why when I was 70 pounds overweight, I was drinking 8 Diet Cokes a day and wondering why I was always hungry. And I was eating all these wonderful low-fat things and getting worse and fattened. And it was like I was starving them to death. And my brain was constantly going, well, heck, would you eat something? You know, would you give us some sugar that I know you're tasting? And that's what fools so many people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So allulose it is.
Yeah. But get non-GMO allulose.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple of the rapid fire questions that I ask everybody. What is your zodiac sign?
I'm a Cancer, a homebody.
When's your birthday?
July 11th.
No way.
What's more lucky than that? 7-11.
I know. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah. Wow. This baby might be a Cancer. We'll
ooh,
see.
Oh, good.
Yes. Or a Leo. Okay. Very Cosby. We'll see. Yeah. Do you know?
My dad was a Leo. So
dad's a Leo too.
Oh, cool.
Do you know your moon and your rising signs?
Not right now, no.
That's okay. You know your main sun sign. That's perfect. If you could be in a room with 3 people, who would they be?
Oh, absolutely. Hippocrates. I mean, this guy knew 2,500 years ago that all disease begins in the gut. And the guy was right. And I've spent 25 odd years trying to figure out how he knew all this. I get closer every year and gut check is all about that.
Yeah.
The other guy I'd like to be in the room is Winston Churchill. That guy knew, I guess, how to get the best out of a nation at probably one of the worst times in history. And interesting guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a glass of champagne with him, but I'm not going to smoke his cigar.
And then the third person?
I would like to be in the room with my mother again. She passed away a few years ago, she had such an amazing influence on my life. And I thank her every day, the amount of work she put into me.
That's amazing. Wow, I love that. And where can everybody find you?
YouTube, Instagram, the Dr. Gundry podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm at drgundry.com. GundryMD.com is my supplement and food company. And hopefully, as you're scrolling through the internet, I pop up and wave at you. So click on me sometime.
Yes. And it's 201 right now, which is my lucky number. So my listeners will know what I'm talking about. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Wand and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.